Welcome to the 300th episode of Sci-Fi Thoughts. This is our tricentennial. I hope you enjoy the show.
My name is Richard Sparks. I'm the author of New Rock, New Roll, R-O-L-E, a fantasy adventure story published by the science fiction and fantasy house Kazik, SFNF. And the second book in the series comes out, New Rock, New Realm. They're been just the best fun to write, and I hope you enjoy them.
This is a continuing episode of a series with author of New Rock, New Roll, Richard Sparks. And I want to focus in on, you started out with video poker, you're playing video poker in Vegas, right, working on your book, and maybe it's broader than that, but how has gaming changed your life for the better? And my kids are listening to this, so be careful how you answer.
Well, I cannot thank it enough for giving me the inspiration to write these books. All my life, I've wanted to write fiction. I mean, I spent 40 years as a scriptwriter making a living. And some years, you don't make anything. Some years, you make plenty of money. And that's the money you use to try and write the stuff you should write. And that's where you get the good work done. And finally, the idea came to me. Nobody else could have written these books. Nobody else could have, you know, the other times I've tried to write books, I look back and I'm glad they're not published, by the way. You look back and you think, yeah, anyone could have done that. That's perfectly decent. But why? Because they don't publish books. They publish authors. And you have to establish yourself as an author. And in order to do that, you've got to start at the beginning and have something that people want to read.
Rather shocking, isn't it, that we authors have to write things that people want to read? But
I listened to myself saying that, I thought perhaps you should have ended that speech sentence earlier.
Well, no, but it's very fair. Well, I don't know about yourself, your experience in the arts and being in front of stages and working with people. You've gotten a faster feedback loop. You probably have some good instinct on what people will actually want to, what kind of entertainment they want to consume. But a lot of authors, they write what they want to write because maybe it's a long shot that it gets published anyhow, so at least they want to enjoy the experience, and they may not be thinking about the readers very early on.
Yeah, you don't really. You're writing to find out what the story is. You're trying to get out of your own way, let it discover it. Let it tell you. I mean, characters appear out of nowhere, and then they're with you. There are two characters in the first book who pop up in the third book and really drive part of the story. They join the gang, and they're great. So, you just have to keep your ears and eyes open. So you're partly steering it, but you're just perched on the back of the elephant. The elephant is, you know, if it wants to, it can go wherever it likes. And you might think you're driving, but you know, you have to love it, because sometimes it's really not easy. And I think in the third book, the plotting was very complex. Not looking back now, it isn't. It's looking back, it's all fine. But at the time, going forward, I had a lot of blind alleys I went up. A lot of pages I needed to throw. That doesn't work. Because I love puzzles in games, complicated things that happen that the hero has to solve. And these happen in video games. On a quest, there's always something, and usually one member of the team is better at solving them than others. So to come up with those complicated puzzles was a lot of fun, but quite brain-twisting. But the main thing, my job is to entertain. My job is to do all the work so that the reader doesn't have to. Just come in, you know, kick back and enjoy the ride. One of my test readers said, oh, I just read it all in a weekend. And that's like a 500-page book. She said, I loved it. It just flew past.
That's great.
And I said, that's the best praise anyone could give. That was, you know, it took me a year to write.
I know.
But that's my job. My job is to give you a good time for your $15 or whatever.
That's true. That's absolutely right. Yeah. Now, the new book, it's New Rock and New Roll. That's the first book. Is that right?
New Rock, New Roll, R-O-L-E, because it grew out of role-playing games. So, you know, basically, the hero finds himself on a new rock. You know, like a planet is third rock from the sun is a planet, right? You get it? I quite enjoy wordplay. As you've seen, there's a lot of humor in the book. And by humor, I mean things going wrong. Problems. And what adventure doesn't have disasters in it? And comedy is all about things going wrong. And role is role-playing games. So, as I said, the hero finds himself his own avatar. And when he meets his team again, of course, the Australian player who he's never met in real life actually is an orc now. And he's a complete wimp. He's never picked up a battle axe in his life. He doesn't know what to do. And as to where the girl warrior is, well, she disappears from the story for a long time. I got really told off by a reader. She said, oh, I loved Creesa. She was my favorite character. And then she disappears from the story. I said, well, you can't have all three people going around in a clump from the beginning. You've got to keep your powder dry. She said, yeah, I know, it's worth the wait. But I thought, yeah, she's right. That character does it. But there are plenty of other characters that appear. And of course, the three of them do eventually find each other. And by the time they do, they've got a big problem to face.
Cool. All right. So I'm hearing there's three characters. Can we go through them again? What's the first one?
Well, the heroes in computer games, you always give yourself a snappy nickname or avatar. Yeah. You name your avatar. He's called Dax with two X's, D-A-X-X. There's Grell, the Australian orc. He's never met the other two in real life, so you don't know anything about them ever. And the girl is Creesta. She's all he knows about her is that she lives in California, and she's her avatar is Asian American looking. So, and she wields two samurai swords extremely well. She's very efficient. She's the DPS, damage per second, and she's a lovely character. Her tongue is as sharp as her sword, so you don't F with Creesta. But she's very just super cool, and so she's Q-R-Y-S-T-A, because you always give yourselves a name that is short and snappy so that your teammates can yell in your ear if somebody's attacking you. But you don't want to have to shout, look out, snotty butt, fast 8-4-3 yeah, butt, whatever Douglas's character was called. and it's great. And, you know, in some of the games I played, there were people in my earphones who made me howl with laughter, especially when we had drunk Fridays. Those got pretty silly towards the end of the evening. I mean, we'd start off, we'd be magnificent. We could wipe anybody. And then by the end of the evening, we were total chaos. You know? but just great fun.
What's the high-level story arc here? Like, what's going on with these three?
He finds himself, he's a retired teacher in real life, or he was, before he becomes his own avatar, which he's stuck as. You know, there's no going back. This is for real. It's, as I said, it's not in a game. But he's actually this character that he designed. And the Australian guy says, you know, if I'd known I'd smell like this, I wouldn't have designed this character as an orc. But anyway, he loves it too. He becomes the best damn orc you've ever seen with a battle axe. And so they all just, that's what they love doing in real life, was adventuring. And here they're doing it for real. Well, there's no complaints for any of them. And this is way beyond their regular humdrum lives that we all live. I mean, that's why we love fantasy. And stories make much more sense than real life, don't they?
Yeah. Well, they're a little bit cleaned up and tidy.
They have beginnings, middles, and endings. They're satisfying. They talk. All sorts of things happen in them that you would like to encounter, and then you can mull over at your leisure. And it's just lovely finding all the characters in this world that crept up, some of them. Certainly the sneakier ones. There's a wonderful thief, you know, a street rat thief who they meet early on, who joins the team, and he's a great character too.
They're a team, and you're saying like in real life. What does that mean? Like they're
basically by the end of the first chapter, real life's gone. You know, they're out of this world. And there he is, he's standing all alone on a hillside with a crappy sword and a shield. He doesn't even have a magic staff, which he had in the game. I mean, why should there be magic there? He doesn't even know if there is. Well, spoiler alert, eventually, of course. But for the first 150 pages or so, he's a grunt in a, you know, recruited into an army where he trains, gets better, and And then they go on the run, and the adventure gets bigger and better.
Is there a twist that gets them into this in real life situation, and you care to reveal that, or are you saving that for?
No, I think it probably best not to spoil what it all means and how it happened and why. But it's fun. People always say to me when they get to the revelation, they go, "I did not expect that."
Oh, cool!
Wow. And then we're all set up for the other adventures. So,
okay.
I mean, really, it's just an excuse to have lots of adventures in a fun fantasy world. But it's just a joy to have got this whole world to myself that I've discovered, and it's mine, all mine. I can play in it. Yeah. And welcome in, by the way.
Do you think there'll be a actual game based on the book?
Well, I mean, who knows? The film rights were sold, and I've written the screenplay for that, which basically doesn't mean anything. It means that somebody wants to make it. It's going to have to do their work. And producing is a long haul. But it was quite interesting because I've done a lot of book adaptations before, and I was talking to the producer, and I said, "There's so much I'm going to have to leave out." I mean, and he said, "Oh, do it in two parts, like Dune." So I thought, all right, I'll try part one. And that worked, and then I had lunch with him. I said, "Look, come on, Dune's a classic. Nobody's ever heard of me. Why would they, you know, you can't really sell." And he said, "Actually, you know, what people want now is just a 2-hour adventure film. They don't want an endless streaming series that goes on for 10 series and keeps doing the same thing. They want beginning, middle, and end." So I said, "Well, let me try again." And the script came out at 121 pages, which is a minute a page. That's a 2-hour movie. So it was an interesting exercise, you know, cutting your own work. There's a lot I had to leave out, as I said, but so that's done. Whether it becomes a game or not, that's that would be fun.
Sci-Fi Thoughts wants to expand. We want to grow from not just your podcast player, but to spread to your coworkers, your family, and your friends.
But I haven't got any friends.
Why, you little... 1, 2, 3. Oh, no, you don't. We know you've got friends who are into the science, who are into science fiction. These are the people who are playing Halo and Stellaris and other space games instead of watching college football. There are the ones in the NASA t-shirts who are busy inventing something with their 3D printers. Email them a link to this podcast. Send them a social media request. Heck, even speak to them and tell them that you've enjoyed the show. The main point is to impress upon them how much you enjoy Sci-Fi Thoughts. Tell them to go to the URL scifithoughts.space. Don't keep Sci-Fi Thoughts secret, because keeping secrets from science fiction fans just isn't nice.
Check out the show notes, because we've got some good things in there, like links to Richard Sparks' website and his books and any other interviews that we came across, so you can really get to know the man behind New Rock and New Roll. If you're like my friend Falasha Day and you missed the first episode of the series, which is episode 301... you can find that first episode or any of the interleaving episodes by going to scifithoughts.space and use the search box there to look up whatever episode you care to find. Next episode, Richard Sparks does a reading from New Rock, New Roll, R-O-L-E.